Welcome back. This is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual back at you once again. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Today we have a special guest. You know, we've been trying to get new people to come in because people have been complaining that we're kind of getting
unlistenable.
You know, especially this is the first episode of our third year, actually.
The beginning of our
third. So we kind of wanted to try something new. So, you know, one of the things that we have had here is that it really is a testosterone-driven... not really.
You make it sound like we're so macho.
We're not. So technically, I guess not. There's me too, so I guess...
What the hell, man?
Well, no.
Oh, I am the testosterone.
Yeah, you all work right, out, cool. So, you know.
Cool.
Yes. But we decided to kind of put in a feminine touch, but I decided not to do too much, and so I decided to bring in my friend. I'd like to introduce to you our newest member of our, well, so you're probationary, I guess.
Perfect.
You got 6 months.
newest member of our group, this is Kara. Ever say hello to Kara?
Hello.
Hello. Well, I think it's funny because you always tell me I'm like the manliest girl you know, so I'm the one you brought in to help with the testosterone.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Well, baby steps.
We couldn't go in there all feminine because it would just shock the system.
I got you.
You know, like dipping the toe.
Got it.
Especially with your toe. You need to kind of dip it in something.
What do you guys do?
And so, Kara, I don't know, are we going to talk about what you do, or... we don't need to.
No, we don't need to.
But the real Kara and I are friends, and the reason why I brought her in was, you know, she is an on-and-off listener, when, according to her, when there's something interesting that we actually talk about.
Yeah.
She actually listens to.
Occasionally, yeah. Tom Holland, I loved that episode.
We've had like five.
Oh, the one where you put him on trial?
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, that one.
Okay, cool. So I decided to bring her in, and especially like this whole idea came about a week or two ago when she was talking about an experience. And, you know, we used that topic, the idea of fanboys and casuals and everything. And she came in, walked in, and started talking to me about an experience that we had. And so I guess that's going to be the first topic that we're going to do. Two topics today. First introductory topic is going to be moments when, you know, fanboydom, the toxic culture of fanboydom, kind of comes in and kind of gets in your face. So, Kara, let's start with you, because I really love that story. And that's, to be honest with you, the reason why you're here.
Okay, perfect. Well, then I'll make it good. So I went to Dennis and was like, hey, Dennis, I think I just got fanboyed yesterday. Can you confirm or deny? Because you are my expert on these things.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
He has a badge.
Yes, he does.
I thought you said he has something else.
A badge.
Oh, jeez.
Well,
a B.
Okay.
So
with you being Filipino,
that's why
V is kind of like pretty damn close.
Close enough.
Just snort at. Okay, sorry.
Continue.
So I play trivia a lot on Sunday nights with a pretty regular team. So I've known this guy a long time. He is the husband of one of my good friends, and we happened to play trivia the night of the Emmys, and I just happened to wear my Game of Thrones shirt. I didn't know it was the Emmys.
By the way, stop real quick. In just that two sentences, you've out-geeked us.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, trivia.
The fact that you've gone to a trivia place
wearing a Game of Thrones. Okay.
Just saying.
It's pretty good.
Thank you. You've done one or the other.
But never
at the
both.
Same time, on Emmy night, on accident, because I don't watch those shows. I really don't care what awards they get, to be honest, if I like it. But so we were talking about it because they kept checking their phones and they saw that Game of Thrones won the Emmy for like the big category, right?
Yeah.
And they were very mad. This man hated the end of Game of Thrones, and he was so angry that it had won. And I was like, look, like, I know it's not necessarily what you wanted it to be, but it's still the best show on television. And he's like, do you watch Better Call Saul? And I was like, well, no, I don't. And he goes, well, then shut the f*** up.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay, I got fanboyed.
That's
Jesus. It was tough.
That's rude. Wow. Okay.
Is that a fanboy thing?
Oh yeah.
Is that just being?
I mean,
hey, that guy's a jerk. But man, jeez,
he's a Breaking Bad fan. Then you know,
yeah.
It's kind of the toxic culture that they came from.
I mean, I've heard about dudes or, you know, let's be honest, mostly dudes, being, like, super triggered whenever you say, like, Yeah, Game of Thrones season 8.
Yep.
Like, cause actually, you mentioned it. I got my Peter tingle went off a little bit.
That's fair.
But I didn't tell you to shut the F up. So.
Right. Well, and I didn't say it was perfect, but I still think, like, the quality and the production and the whole thing of the show, like, how are you mad that it was even, like, winning an award? I don't know. He was just furious with me. And you could see him, like, sweating the rest of the night. And about 10 minutes later, he apologized, probably because I got a trivia question right.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it his was just probably, really awkward. Yeah.
His wife probably pinched him under the table.
Oh, she pinched him in front of me.
I think the fact that he was sweating is a sign that he was a fanboy.
Yeah.
Because that's the rage.
Sweating profusely is one of our, you know, well, it's a requirement.
And a question I have is, would he have reacted better to me if I were male?
Ooh. That's a good question.
To be honest with you, I don't think so.
No.
Probably not. I mean, no, I'm sorry. No. To be honest with you, I think he would have.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, you know, we were kind of talking about examples of fandom, you know, and it kind of happened earlier today. We were talking earlier today, and you had revealed to me, and Lewis watched this, by the way, she's never watched Back to the Future 2 or 3.
Oh my gosh, the face.
Yeah, that's right. I had the same face earlier.
I'm so loud in here, though, which is really nice.
That's okay. That's okay.
And then she asked, oh, and, you know, have I watched it? I was like, this morning.
Today?
Literally at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I was like, have you watched it recently? Yeah, and like, it was like,
So less than a day. I think it's just, especially if you have such a passion for certain things.
Right.
Which I think, you know, we always use the word toxic, though. But is it really toxicity, or is it just somebody really being passionate about something?
But couldn't you passionately say to me, okay, what's your argument?
What's more
Tell
passionate,
me why you think
what's
that.
What's more passionate than shut the f*** up?
Because that's an absolute.
Yeah, it's like,
but you're
you
both working in absolutes where you say, this is the absolutely best show, and he's saying, no, your opinion is wrong because my opinion is correct.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
I mean, you know, I guess discussion isn't open these days.
No, apparently not.
It's just like, my opinion, bam.
Well, and then later in the night, he found out that Peter Dinklage had won, and he just, like, wanted to yell at me about it. And I was like, I'm not going there because I'm not an Emmy voter, sir. Like, I'm so sorry.
And the fact
he's that mad?
He's so mad. He's like, Tyrion didn't do anything
I was
in
about
the last
to say, actually, you know what? I got to say, if anything salvaged that last season, Tyrion was perfectly fine. I thought he was a really great actor throughout the whole thing. I had my money on Brienne of Tarth winning something just on the power of that one episode. I can't remember the name. Sir Brienne, yeah.
Totally agree.
Okay, thank you.
And see, that's the thing, is like, this man has just gotten to the place of fandom that's irrational, which I guess is a fanboy.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Right? Irrational fandom.
That's how it feels like to be called out.
I'm so sorry. Someone told me to shut up and I'm not over it.
Wait, I'm more intrigued by these trivia nights.
Oh my goodness, you guys should totally come one night. It's so fun.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Thank you. So it's just random. I mean, I'm gonna lie. I've been to one trivia night, but is it just because around your area there's a lot of trivia nights? Or
no, they're all over. You can internet, Google it. It's all over, but it's all random topics, which just makes it fun. So you need to have people that are experts in different things. So we have a guy on our team that's in politics, and we have me, who's like a literature nerd, and then we have this fanboy for when we get really geeky questions.
Dude, we need to do this.
I think
yeah,
so
but
too.
You
we
need
to do you, know, yeah.
You need balance, though.
Oh.
I don't want to be mean, but
she's looking,
I think
at, she's
y'all,
looking at me, guys.
I think y'all have the same expertise levels on the same topics, and you need to bring in people that have like different expertise levels.
Mm, okay.
There's only going to be like
people
one question.
So you're assuming we have other friends.
Just got real quiet in the dungeon.
I don't know about you guys.
I don't know if this guy's got friends.
Ooh,
I
like it. Well, we have to call this place Dungeon.
I like
dungeon.
That too.
We've been calling it Cave.
105 episodes later, we finally have a name. I like Dungeon.
Okay.
It sounds dangerous.
Well, why don't you? There's no limit to the size, so join my team the first time and see how you like it.
They have. Well, I know that the internet is listening to us, so every time I like come up with an idea, Instagram posts stuff about my ideas.
Yeah.
So a couple of days ago, I saw there was an 80s trivia thing at some British pub in Woodland Hills.
Ooh.
Or yeah,
okay.
And then I was like, I would destroy it, an 80s or 90s trivia thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as long as it's not serious topics.
Right. Well, sometimes it's so unfortunate.
On Wednesday, I don't know.
Because you've seen Back to the Future. Yeah. 2 and 3.
This morning.
Well, I play in Burbank, so let's do it.
Is that like at a geeky, what's that other place?
It's at Simsy's. Oh, yeah. Sunday nights.
That place has great soup.
My buddy's a bartender there. I'm there. All right.
Let's go.
Wait, hold on. Simsies is a bar?
It's a restaurant, right?
It's a bar. Yeah,
it's a restaurant.
It's a bar restaurant. It's across the street from the old Jay Leno studio. They turned into the Overwatch arena like a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
It's down the street from Los Amigos.
By the way, I think you need to be here more often. This is the most like engaged Lewis has been.
I feel bad because I'm late. So I'm just like, I have to compensate.
I'm gonna be better today.
I think we all know why he's trying so hard.
Stop trying to replace me. Damn
it. It's never guests, it's more auditions.
Okay, Harold Lewis, is there any examples you can think of fanboy moments or anything like that?
I guess, unfortunately, I think you're right, though. Like, the gender, unfortunately, does have to do a lot with it and how fanboys react to one another. I bet you 100%, if you were a dude, I hate to say it, the guy would probably been he would still probably been vulgar, right, but not as, like, offensively, like, you're so wrong in a way. So, you know, unfortunately, I can't say that's ever happened to me, but I have been called out on Facebook on being on the other side of things where, like, I can't remember the specific post. I think it was something to do with Avengers before we came up with this podcast. I had said something about, like, somebody not being a real fan, and I had to get, and then I think it was even my wife who called me. I said, did you have to be so mean to that girl who, you know, your high school buddy? I was like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. So, you know, it takes a while for any of that kind of stuff to hit. But, yeah, unfortunately, you know, being a dude, being surrounded by other like-minded guys, it almost never happens. So I've never been cussed out or never been put in my place like you have. So,
wow.
Yeah. And there was no joking to it. Like, you know, Dennis tells me to shut the fuck up all the time.
Wow.
But there's like a humor to it.
Whoa. Jesus, man. I tell you to relax, bro.
That's it. Relax, bro. But you do it with a smile.
I do it sometimes. My example is, I don't know if it's a mixture between the two. I was going to a comic book store near North Hollywood. And I got there, and I remembered, ooh, cool. You know, first and foremost, I've never been to this comic book store. I want to check it out. And then I remember my wife telling me that she wants to check out the new Buffy the Vampire Slayer comic books. I was like, I haven't had a chance to go there yet. Let's go check it out. So I go there, and I'm rummaging through everything. And, of course, out comes the most typical fanboy, you know, ever, you know, overweight, kind of pimply. You know,
I can see him.
Pretty much the typical package that you can think of. And so, and then I said the word package. And so I get there, and I'm kind of looking through, and he asked me, you know, what can I do for you? And I go, do you have issue number one for Buffy the Vampire Slayer? He goes, not in this comic book store. Nothing for chicks. And I'm like, oh crap. Like,
did he just assume your gender?
I know. Like, I know I have bosoms.
I have voluptuous curves.
Doesn't mean that I... You know, like, and then at that point, I kind of like got like... kind of defensive.
You,
like,
should.
And I was like, no, but the problem was, it was like the most like lamest like defensive thing ever. This is for my wife.
Oh yeah, that's not.
That's our go-to, isn't it?
But like, why can't chicks like girly comic books? I don't understand.
And well, why can't dudes like girly comic books?
We know Dennis.
To be fair,
wow. And the setup and.
Okay, before things get awkward, Harold, do you have an example?
I have two examples, but they're kind of different. They're like, because when Lewis was talking about it, he was saying moated. Yeah. I was like, sometimes you get moated, and then for me, it's like, sometimes you get sunned, you know, like, oh, sun, you know, kind of like that. So, two examples, one very recent, and it was, there was a post by Yahoo NBA News, or Yahoo NBA on Twitter, and they're talking about which is the best number, 32, 33, 34. Because, like, you go off jersey, so 32 had, like, Magic Johnson, whatever. And 33 had, like, Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Scottie Pippen. And for some reason, in this graphic that they made of numbers, they had the number 33 on top was Magic Johnson, on 34 was Giannis, and then on top of 33 was Scottie Pippen, and I was like, of all the people, why would you put Scottie Pippen at the top? And I was like getting mad, so all these people started like, yeah, I agree with this guy. And the guy from Yahoo was like, it's not that Scottie Pippen is the best at number 33. It's just it goes by position. So one is the top is a point guard. And I was like, Scottie Pippen a better point guard than Larry Bird? And then the guy was just like, Scottie Pippen played more time at point guard than Larry Bird. And I was just like, point taken. And I was like, I'm just going to crawl up in my Twitter over here.
Just, the fact that this is online.
Yeah. So all these people at first were just like, yeah, this is the guy. We believe this guy. And I was like, but I was more angry about the fact that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wasn't at top because top three player of all time, number 33, should be at the top. But and then I was like, yeah, you put Giannis at home, huh? Yeah, top. And I was like, he won an MVP last year. Just be, whatever. But yeah, that's me getting sports-sunned. And then another one is just, I thought I literally was on the way here and I remembered it and it just made me crack up because of how badly I got put in my own place by one of our friends. No, he's not here, but we know him. But we went to a concert once.
But we have friends, though.
Yes, we do. Mutual friends. Okay. I know we discussed this.
There's like five other people.
There. Yeah, he's one of those five. Check. But we went to a concert once. We went to a New Edition concert. So you can kind of figure out where I'm going from there. Thank you for listening, as usual. New Edition was doing all their songs. And then out of nowhere, they started doing this song, Jealous Girl. That song came out from
New Edition. Which one's that one? How does it go?
Jealous girl in our
town. That was disappointing.
I don't know what I'm saying. Make it copyrighted, bro.
Yeah,
that's why I'm stopping.
Okay.
But,
just like Giannis.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say it's real.
I don't know that name is copyrighted.
That's because Scottie Flippin. But when that song came on, the first time I heard that song was a cover by another Bad Creation, which was, you know, like a bunch of little kids. But the original Jealous Girl came out from New Edition when they were little kids. So when it came on, I was like, oh, dang, they're doing a cover of the ABC song. And my buddy was like, what are you talking about, man? That song came out from the New Edition first. And I was like, huh.
What do you know?
I knew that. He's
like, sports and music.
Hey, man.
So you got put in your place with facts.
Yes.
Okay.
Both of the times.
So this is what I need to come back. The fan
was just opinions.
Facts.
Yeah.
Mine was, you're a dumb girl. Sit down. You have no voice. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Because I haven't watched Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Me and like half of America. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, Lewis had, you guys had opinion. Well, Dennis's was, I don't know if it's opinion or fact.
No, but mine was,
mine was just no chicks.
Yes.
Which is the opposite of what a fanboy needs. He needs chicks. Yeah. Why is he so angry at chicks?
You know, I know. And ironically, that's why there's no girls in comic book stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife got eyeballed once in the comic book store. Dude. She promised never to come back again. Sorry. I felt bad.
I thought that was a euphemism for something else.
Yes, I know.
Because she's light-skinned.
Oh, jeez, dude.
Wait, they thought she was white? I don't know. I mean, she can kind of pass for
certain angles.
Okay, so moving forward, you know, the main topic for today, we were going to have a pretty risque topic, and we kind of decided to change it because Lewis kind of felt kind of uncomfortable, to be honest with you.
It's okay.
You know, turns out he's not comfortable talking with girls.
I'm not.
Well, I never have been. Again, fanboys, like that's and, but where I'm at. You
but
know?
I was trying to tell him that you're not really a boy. So I mean, you're not really a girl.
I'm not really a girl. Okay, yeah, so it's just okay. Checking.
So we decided to change up the topic. And today's topic, Lewis, I think you were the one that was able to kind of say it the best.
Okay. Well, one of our topics we've always been talking about, like stuff in the past that has either grown to become better or things that we like fondly or look back at fondly. So we wanted to take a 180 from that perspective and take a look at things in the past that we might have loved or adored or was critically acclaimed but has not aged well. So I think that one we were talking about, like, how do we discuss what does it mean to age well? So we're going to leave it up to everybody's interpretation. So, you know, it might have been something that we've watched again recently, played, read, or just something that maybe it's a book. You know, we have a lit nerd in here, so maybe it's something you reread.
None of minor books. I promise. I'm restraining it. We're putting a toe into it.
Okay, so yeah, so let's talk about some of the stuff.
Sorry, that's she just said we're
just
putting a toe into
toe.
It. So I mean, it just came out awkward. Sorry.
The toe came out awkward.
I've seen that movie before, so it's
whoa. Did it age well?
No. Apparently not.
Not the toe.
The toe.
Okay, who wants to start it off?
You know, I'll start off well, I guess. You know, at the risk of having to sleep on the couch today, one of the first things I'm going to call out is the show Friends.
That's on my list.
Oh, was it? Yay! Okay, so there we go. It is one of my wife's favorite shows. So it's streaming on Netflix. Whenever my wife has a tough night, a rough day at work, you know, as to kind of calm things down, we pop in a new episode, or not a new episode. I've seen, haven't been any new episodes for the last decade or two. So we just watch some of it, and I'm watching it with her. And ever since we started this podcast, we kind of come with a little bit more of a critical eye. And some of the stuff there, it just doesn't flow anymore, or it doesn't seem appropriate, or just seems super dated. The one episode that we just saw recently that even I had to pause and look back at is, I don't know if you guys have watched Friends at its peak or whatever, but there was one episode where the six friends get split in half, the poorer half, quote unquote, who were doing menial day-to-day jobs. So that's Joey, Phoebe, and Rachel were complaining to the quote unquote richer half, Monica,
Chandler
and Ross, that you guys keep doing stuff that's out of our price range and we can't do this, da 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 da. And they were complaining about a $30 bill. And that had to make me pause. I'm like, I could have sworn when I saw this, it was like $100 per person, but it's 30 bucks. Like, okay, so maybe inflation's to matter here. But nonetheless, it was just like really awkward in how they played on those kind of roles. And not to mention a lot of I don't know how to say this, but the dynamic between Ross and Rachel at the time, you know, this was at its strength, at its greatest strength when I was in high school. So maybe back then I was looking at things that like, oh, this is what adults do. This is what 20-something, 30-year-old people do. They just hang out, they hook up, they forget about it, they joke. But you look back at it now, it's like, some of that stuff's not like the best thing to show kids, or, you know, the kind of things you probably want to be telling everybody. It's like, yeah, hook up with your friend at school, you know, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, Friends, some stuff still hits, but, you know, for the most part, a couple of misses for me.
Really quickly, before you get into this, you remember that episode, the reason they got mad is because they were only ordering salads and, like, soups.
Yeah.
While everyone else was ordering, like, steaks and, I mean, I've been there before. It usually happens now where everybody keeps ordering alcohol and they're like, let's split the bill equally. I was like, yeah. What about the sober guy? And they're like, nah, it doesn't matter. You were at the table. And I'm like, so
you're Phoebe.
I was going to say, I relate exactly to Phoebe. Like,
but yeah. So that means you're like down low cute, bro.
Down low cute?
Yeah. Cute, sorry.
Down low cute.
With cute as in like
cute,
Phoebe's cute.
Yeah, dude.
I'm a down low cute. I'm not regular cute.
Down low, it's really
cute. Well, because like, again, it's one of those things where like,
we're not outright. Hey,
his toe?
Yeah. These are Christmas sweater shoes, man.
I mean, my issue with, and why that's also on my list isn't any of those things, though they're very interesting to hear. I think it's just painfully not funny. Okay. I think they get in these situations and they can't get out of the joke, so they just play music and you're in another scene. And I'm like, wait a minute, but what Segway. About that? Yeah, like, yeah. I don't laugh at it anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was at its peak when I was in high school, too. We used to get together on Thursday nights and watch it, and it was, like, a big deal. And now I'm just like, I can't believe people my age think this is funny. It's just not. I'm sorry.
So we were just on a trip together.
Yep.
And it just so happened that we were watching it. And it was funny. We were talking about the exact same thing. But people all around us was just like laughing their butts off. Uh-huh. I think it was the most hilarious thing. And I she told me about the whole like playing everything off, and it happened every single time. It'd be like one random joke, and then
and Joey's locked in a cabinet. Like, oh, stupid Joey! Like, it almost is like when you go back and watch like I Love Lucy or those really old TV shows, and you're like, the jokes are so unsophisticated, and you're like, this is not funny. And for me, that's just how Friends feels. It lands like a brick.
Now, there's one. I agree with everything, but in particular, there was one episode that we were watching where I think it was Ross. They were kind of questioning, I forget which character, and I apologize. They were questioning somebody's like manliness, and out of nowhere, they would go, "Oh, that's so gay," and I was like,
"Oh, crap!"
I didn't know that Friends said these things.
There was a time you could say that, I guess.
So that one was just a shock to me. So I kind of agree, Friends. I can see that.
But in my defense, before my wife hears this, I still like the show, babe. Continue. I will watch it with you any night.
Me?
I'll go, I guess. The movie, I'm going to go with movies, like these are, I have notes here because I was trying to figure out, because when we originally did it, I was trying to figure out if we don't like certain things about it, is it just like permanently we don't like it or it's just not as good? And I guess that's where I was kind of stuck. I'm almost positive we kind of talked about this movie before, and I apologize if we have, but just recently I had the opportunity to watch Revenge of the Nerds. Have you ever watched that show?
Are you going to kick me out of the dungeon if I say no?
No, which by the way, Revenge of the Nerds is what I think your life was when you were in high school.
I mean, I know what it is. I just never have seen it.
Yeah. So, when I was younger, when I first watched it, I thought it was hilarious. All the moments there, it was really, really great, you know. A lot of the things, I still think of it fondly. But then when I watched it, first and foremost, I had to watch it away from my wife or away from my daughter just because of what I remember. And I was sitting there and I was like, maybe it's just the way my viewpoint is now. Mm-hmm. But there was so many things that was completely wrong about that movie. You know, like there was only one black character, a gay character in that whole thing, and it had to be the black guy. You know,
just put everything in one guy.
Exactly. And one of my most favorite moments there is he wins the javelin throw by using his limp-wristed technique.
Oh my goodness!
So he's running up and down just like what the stereotypical, you know, I hate to say that, but back in the day, back in the 80s, that's how they would, and they used the movement of that of that wrist to be able to make it fly. And I thought it was hilarious, and I was watching that, I was like, wow, this is kind of awkward.
It's tough now.
It's kind of tough, considering what we're talking about. And then, you know, one of the main characters, Lewis, you know, with not U-I-S, but E-W-I-S. And I remember there was the one part where everybody was kind of cheering for her because Lewis was able to get with the hot cheerleader.
Betty.
Okay.
But the way he does it is that it's a carnival and everybody's wearing costumes and everything.
Oh.
So he puts on this mask that her boyfriend was wearing.
Oh.
And he leads her inside.
Sorry, it's bad that we're laughing at this.
But no, like now I kind of want to watch
her exactly. reaction. He leads her inside and basically tricks her to have sex with each other.
Oh.
And at the end, he reveals his face, and instead of what you would think, you know, police, you know, arrest this man. She's like, oh, you've done things to me that nobody's ever done to me before. And I was like, yes, that's what nerds are all about. Oh. But then I was watching. This is tough to watch already. Like, I still have fond memories of it, but now as a father, you know, as an adult, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could watch this ever again. So. Fond memories, yes, but reality now, it's tough.
I have a hard time with that portrayal of a cheerleader. Like, she's so dumb, she doesn't recognize her boyfriend's peener. Like, that's my issue. Like, not so much the, like, non-consensual date rape as much that the portrayal of the cheerleader.
Also, Lewis Skolnick is completely, must be a Jewish man. And so Ted McGinley, obviously, is not. So...
I love the fact that's what you found offensive.
Yeah, well,
like, how dare they?
But you don't laugh at Frush. I've got a Frush. What the F is a Frush? Flush. He's an Asian man saying flush.
Oh.
Sorry. She never watches rubber.
Sorry, no, it's good.
So, one of my favorite scenes, admittedly, is, you know, in order to get back at the sorority and the fraternity, it really is that type of movie. It's the nerds versus
the jocks.
The jocks and all those things. And so, in order to get back at them, they decide to put surveillance cameras in, like, the
you said that's the part you did like?
the surveillance said, no, back then is what I'm saying. And so it's, you know, everybody's dressing up, everybody's taking showers, and everybody's kind of watching it. And again, I'm like, this was fun. this was a great moment, but now, not anymore.
No.
So yeah, that would be my first one, Revenge of the Nerds.
My first is a television show. I have a couple, but... The first one is this TV show on HBO that came out a couple of years ago. It's called Entourage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm pretty sure people remember Entourage, but the reason I used to love that show is because it was a dude bro show. Like, where you have the main actor, Vinny Chase, and all his little entourage of people surrounding him.
Oh, that's where the show comes from.
Yes, that's what it's called.
And there's, like, the agent that's really pushy, right?
There's Ari Gold, who's, like, the best character in that, and he has this gay assistant, gay Asian assistant, and he makes bad Asian gay jokes all the time. And that's literally where all the comedy is Jeremy Piven, like, doing racial and sexist jokes. And then you have the main characters who are boring as hell. But
handsome.
Questionable.
No, okay.
Sure. So at the time, like I said, we used to watch it because I was hanging out with a bunch of dudes, like our stuntman friend. So we were trying to be his entourage at the time.
Were you trying to be the assistant?
No, I was trying to be the turtle.
This all happened, I think, when Dennis and I... Not we were having kids, but we were... not together, but...
No, it was around the time
Dennis... Really? Are you sure?
I don't know.
Was it
a dark fun house?
It's true.
Were you wearing a mask?
Is he wearing a cheap rip-off Darth Vader mask? It could have been him.
So yeah, I think, unfortunately, it was one of those shows that I definitely missed out on, because, I was raising kids, but go ahead.
Yeah, because it was literally... It was around that time when Dennis got married, and you were there. Also, no HBO.
Oh, yeah, that movie. Right. They didn't have it.
Lewis is cheap.
Yeah.
He got it for free 2 years ago.
That's the theme.
I use my mom's login. Like, come on.
The only reason I watch
it. If you want it, I'll give it to you later. Like, half of Southern California is watching on my mother's bathroom.
But the, like, you know, used to like the show because it was somewhat funny and more kind of, you know, dude-ish. And then I've recently gone back and tried to watch it and tried to find the laughs. They're just not there. It doesn't happen anymore. Like, the Jeremy Piven character, Ari Gold, great and fantastic. He won, apparently, Emmys are important. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but apparently he didn't get in trouble for talking about it.
Exactly. So if he lost, people would have gone crazy. Like, people were up in arms. Like,
Simpsons would have been erupted.
Yeah. Frat guys were insane that none of the guys in Entourage ever won awards. And they were always considering themselves to be, like, some version of somebody in the Entourage. And, like, the movie came out a few years ago, and it was horrendous. All it was literally, like, remember how I used to make fun of Big Bang Theory? Because they were like, oh, here's X name, pop culture reference, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. This movie was literally like, hey, I'm going to get into my car right next to name somebody. Who's my neighbor with? Here's somebody else. And it's, like, literally it's just, like, pop, like, real people popping out, like, hey, Rob Gronkowski is our new friend, and here's Russell Wilson. And for some reason, Liam Neeson's not trying to kill... It's like, literally, it was just that bad. So that's how the whole TV show was. It was like, random characters would pop up. They were friends with Matt Damon and LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, I remember
so
that.
That's why everyone was like, yeah, we gotta be these guys. And then, like, nowadays, I use it to, like, you know, put myself to sleep or to try to analyze how Hollywood was, you know, 15 years ago. And I'm like, dude, it's bad. But... I mean, the good things about that was it gave Jessica Alba a little bit of exposure. Mandy Moore, before she found out about making people cry or doing Tangled and stuff, she was a main character for a couple episodes. Yeah, she, you know. But that show nowadays, like, towards the end, it just got unwatchable.
But if I'm a dude bro still... Would I like it? Like, if you're surrounded by those same people, I think they'd still laugh.
Yeah, because those guys, I mean, it's like...
it's a way of life.
Yeah, it's those guys that are still wearing their high school, you know, rings and their Letterman jackets. Right now, they'd be like, hey, bro. You don't know what you're talking about, bro. It's funny. Like, maybe not. So, that's me.
Well, one of mine is The Little Mermaid.
Today? No, I'm looking at him. Go ahead, please.
Obviously, when you're young and you're watching that Disney movie, the music is great. You're, like, singing along. You're so into it. It's, like, a classic. They're remaking it right now, right? They're making, like, a live-action version. Yeah.
Harold's really excited about it.
So, you know, when you go back and rewatch it, if we're looking at cultural, like, lenses to look through, that movie's tough. I mean, she meets a guy for like 2 seconds. He's sexy and on a beach and he looks her in the eye. Okay, I get that. But then she like gives up her entire voice. And I really don't like that message of a woman having to give up their voice or to have to shut up to get this man. And then in the end, like, her dad's like, what a great idea. And she leaves her entire family for this guy who doesn't even know that she's the girl. He doesn't even recognize her. I don't know. For me, I'm really curious to see if the live action version changes anything. I've heard that the Lion King changed nothing. I don't know. Did you guys see
like really small?
Un poquito.
Because that's how they say it in Africa.
Okay. Hakuna Matata. Un poquito.
Translates.
I just am curious to see if they are going to relook at it, because that is really a tough message to send to young girls, that if you want this dream man, you know, give up your voice and be the docile, submissive pretty girl and hope he kisses you on a boat ride.
And it's funny that one of my favorite, like, that movie has one of my favorite bad guys of all time within Ursula.
Yeah, she's rad.
And even Ursula, kind of, there's a point when he's singing where Ariel asks her, you know, if I don't have my voice, how am I going to...
You have your looks, your pretty face. I know, like...
And don't forget your body language.
Yeah.
Really excited for that scene in the new live action.
Well, it just doesn't land as well. And I don't know if it would have landed with me if I were this age when I had first seen it, but I was so young, I didn't pick up on those things.
Admittedly, my daughter loves that movie. It was one of the first movies that she watched. But she still loves it. I sing Part of Your World every single day to her, and so she talks about the idea of the father, you know, their parents shouldn't, like, along the line, I'm all of a sudden blanking out the words, but that the daughter shouldn't be quieted down by the fathers and everything. Right. So that's my favorite part. But
shouldn't they reprimand their daughters? Yeah, bring young women to consume and ready to swim.
Exactly. Okay, so fans. It's a good movie.
I've heard.
But like, I just have a tough time with it, and it's a problem is that it's just one of many Disney movies of the silent female. And I know they're like, no, but we have Merida. And I'm like, that's cool, but you know, they have like Elsa's powerful.
Well,
okay,
Merida. It's kind of close because you really can't understand what she's saying. Oh. So, she's pretty close to
so she loses
you
her
can understand
her
animals. That's right.
She's like Shrek, basically.
Yes.
which is
Shrek is in a movie that if I don't have children, but if I had a little girl, I would make her watch Shrek.
Oh, I love that.
Because Shrek is the anti of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Fiona farts, and I'm here for it.
She burps. I don't remember if she farted.
Oh.
I don't think anybody farts.
No, Shrek does.
Did he? I thought he burps.
Yeah, dude, he farts in the beginning. Wow.
If you burp, you fart. I'm sorry if I'm extrapolating.
I keep
the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Better out than in, right?
I'm mixing up Shrek with grown-ups for some reason.
But, I mean, but hopefully...
Kevin James does a snarf, the fart, sneeze, and burp.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, so for the live action, are you looking forward to the live action at all? Because I don't know if you've seen the Beauty and the Beast or Aladdin, but not that they hand waved it or they fixed all the problems. Because I do know that Princess Jasmine and Belle as well had a lot of those kind of similar problems of being a quiet one. And they did try to fix it a little bit in Aladdin. Aladdin's the most recent example I can think of. I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast in a while.
They kind of make the decision. Beyond, you know, instead of it's just her being a frail princess, they actually made it. It's a small change.
Yeah, they made Jasmine a lot more empowered. So, like, I don't know if they're going to try to do that or any fixes in the live action.
But then that's the thing, though. How can you change The Little Mermaid without that being the main point? Because that's the only reason why the movie happens is that he falls in love with this guy that he sees for like a couple of seconds.
Well, maybe if it could be more substantial of a connection. And honestly, like, I find Beauty and the Beast more problematic because it's the woman's job to tame the beast. No, tame yourself. Like, it's not my job to tame your ass, okay?
Tell him, girlfriend.
Like, it's not. Like, sorry, I'm getting, like, whatever sassy feminist that the dungeon is. But, you know, the source material is problematic, and
I understand
that. The dungeon
is inclusive.
Thank you. But the live action of Jungle Book was really good, so I really like that
I think
one.
You're the only person that has actually said
gosh,
that out loud.
I love it.
Harold's like thinking.
No, it was better than, you know.
The original Jungle Book.
Aladdin.
Oh, I didn't see Aladdin.
Yeah, you don't need
There's only one Robin Williams, and I'm not going to see an imposter.
But it's Will Smith. William Smith is the most amazing actor ever.
Don't make him have to yell at you.
You like Will Smith for real? You're not being sarcastic.
No, you love Will Smith.
I do. I thought you were being sarcastic.
She gonna tell you.
No, I'm not. I would never.
Like next year when the movies come, when the movie comes out, we want to get Dennis that shirt that says "Bad Boys for Life."
Perfect.
And then Will Smith is my favorite like, actor.
It should be the picture with him, okay. Like of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, but instead of Martin Lawrence, put Dennis's face on it.
I'd wear that shirt. With you.
There's your Christmas gift, by the way.
Yeah,
spoiler alert.
That's our next batch of merch.
Okay, so for my next one, I'm gonna have to go with the I'm gonna go video games this time. So in the last year or last couple of years, a lot of the retro consoles have been coming out, and not to mention on Nintendo Switch, you can actually download a lot of the older games, part of their online part. One of the games that has not aged well for me personally, even though I know the significance historically of how important this game was. If this game didn't exist, a lot of current gens wouldn't exist because nobody would even play video games. But I want to talk about Super Mario Brothers.
How dare you?
I know. Exactly. It's like
shut the f*** up.
It's like saying I Love Lucy sucked. But, you know, I hate to say it, but, like, it's still... Okay, you know what? Actually, it goes back to all of our video game conversations. I'm garbage at video games. So maybe that's just what it is. I think it just triggered moments of me of, like, I can't even get through like freaking World 4 because my Twitch reactions are not good enough.
You're not good with your hands?
No.
No. It's tough.
It's rough. It's rough being called out. Wow.
Sorry. He invited me.
It happens.
It happens with my age, right?
Okay.
After 20, it's just downhill.
No, it's super common. It's fine.
It's totally normal to die in like the first 5 seconds. Anyway.
Wait, are we still talking about
that? We're still talking about Mario.
Are you saying the mushroom gets smashed in the first? No?
Sometimes the mushroom only lasts for so long, dude.
It grows though, right? No?
No, apparently not. Not anymore.
Sometimes you shoot fireballs, sometimes you shoot blanks. You know, whatever. It's cool, whatever.
Lewis always shooting blanks. Can't find that flower.
Princess is always in another castle. So anyway, long story short,
you're garbage.
I'm garbage in video games. Maybe that's just what it is. That's the problem with nostalgia is that you look at these things fondly from where you're from the perspective of like, oh, I remember growing up playing that game. Or I remember doing this. Or I remember doing that. Hanging out with my brother. Hanging out with my cousins playing these games. You actually sit down and you play with it. You try to show. This next generation, I try to show my 10-year-old, is like, here, try to play this. I love this growing up. And then I watch, I'm like, you know what? I didn't like this. I'm just very bad at this, maybe. Personally, it just hasn't aged very well for me. I love it. Like I said, it's just in the pantheon of video games. If it didn't exist, we wouldn't have the industry that we have now. But for me, Fanboy Lewis, no good.
Eternal replay factor on that game. Like, I could play that game every day. Just because, you know.
While watching Back to the Future.
While watching Back to the Future.
In the background.
Parts 2 and 3.
Part 1, 2, 3.
With Entourage. This is what we've learned so far in this episode.
Mine is a movie.
A movie.
From the 80s, kind of like Dennis. It's kind of in the same realm in terms of the plot would not fly nowadays. In fact, I'm pretty sure it would be boycotted. And also that... the plot, but also the technology of the time. The movie I'm talking about is... No.
How dare you?
Yeah, that,
like one of my favorite movies.
That movie is eternal, man.
Yeah,
that will
not come for Spaceballs. Yes.
No, look.
Where's the technology wrong?
You just described Spaceballs.
How?
Completely.
No, Spaceballs.
What's wrong with the technology
up
in Spaceballs?
It holds up. I watch it like daily. I will tell you.
Just turn back to the future.
How dare you? That really offended me, too. You know how many times I've seen Spaceballs?
You know how many?
You know I love Mel Brooks, man.
And for some reason, he holds up, even though he says things no one else can.
Yeah,
I don't
you know,
understand that.
He's
but
that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, damn it.
He gets a pass.
Totally.
I guess it kind of feels like a disappointment now with the answer. It's like...
So what was the movie?
Weird Science.
Oh,
I've seen that in ages.
That's...
Just because... First of all, I know we talked about this before, but Kelly LeBrock, peak hotness before Steven Seagal ruined her.
Aww.
And then Anthony Michael Hall, post nerd pre-jock Edward Scissorhands. So he was in that weird phase of he's no longer the nerd from 16 Candles or The Breakfast Club, but he's not quite, you know, turned into the steroid freak that he became in Edward Scissorhands where he needs to get stabbed. So he's in between. So he's trying to be cool, but he's not really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then there's that other guy, the guy that played Wyatt. So, like, you know, A, trying to make a girl, like, out of Frankenstein, using bits and pieces from Playboy magazines. A, what's a Playboy magazine?
Yeah.
B, the scanning took about 2 hours when it's literally they can, you know, you can scan a photo in, like, 3 seconds.
But yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's why it's like... Technology-wise, it took them $300,000 worth of technology in order for them to crack the national security, whereas in, you know, people can do that. Like,
I know, nowadays. 3D print one of those.
Yeah,
now.
And it was like, yeah, let's follow it. And then they were making this really crappy 3D skull and bones. It was, oh, man. Like, watching it now, it's like... And then they had bras on their head, so, you know.
That's just science. Yeah.
I mean, that just really helped everybody out. But, like, that just that... I mean, it's a great story. You could probably take that story and make it, like, somewhat more appealing. But him imitating a black man when he's amongst those guys, not a good idea. You know, getting a tech... Or it's just... Robert Downey Jr. as a bully, that probably won't fly anywhere. Great in the 80s. Don't tell me... Don't get me wrong. Still a fun movie to watch. You don't have to watch it intently anymore. But, you know, it's like, a great background.
You have to ignore certain...
You like, just think, yeah.
Big things.
That, yeah, like Kelly LeBrox. So... Aww.
But I bet you, though, you're right, though. Like, nowadays, just reading that log line, I think that's what it's called, nerds create woman in basement, that probably wouldn't even get off the ground, dude. Like, it would get massacred on Twitter, and
It would be in the other movie industry, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one in my neighborhood.
The one they record across the street from my work.
Yikes. Yeah, so I don't think that we even... Like, the producers can, like, hem and haw by, like, no, there's a moral to this. The boys learn the lessons. Like, no, they're creating women.
They learn no lesson in it.
That's right, though.
The lesson that they learn is, if you don't have something, you can go make it, and then that's going to make it for you. Like, those girls never fell in love with them because of, like, who they were. It's because, like, Kelly LeBrock was like, hey, these are the only two guys that aren't trying to, like, murder you. So,
I might guess. As well,
these, I mean, they watched you in the shower without touching you, so, you know.
Worked for me.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's half my
that's the log,
like, I guess.
That's the log line that Dennis needs. At least they won't touch you.
So, real quick, my next one, I just wanted to point out what it is on my paper.
Oh, no. Are you going to talk about that?
You son of a gun.
It could end our friendship right now. So, Dennis, if this is going to go bad.
I didn't
say no. I just want to hear what your explanation
is. Yeah, that's true.
So we can counter.
I actually put Spaceballs in it.
Oh. I'm indifferent, these two.
I know. I feel...
They're going to fight you outside.
Remember when we were talking about the time when you felt fanboyed?
Yes.
This is my moment right now. So I'm going to go to my next one. And my next one I just recently actually watched. It was Mission Impossible.
The first Tom Cruise, like, coming through the ceiling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I still love the movie. But I recently watched it. It was on the other day. And I watched it and I realized just how... You were talking about old technology.
Yeah.
Like, this was completely... Like, the technology of this was just ridiculously funny. Like, now... you know, Mr. Phelps gets a phone, the message through, like, a cassette.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's, like, this, like, small TV that pops out, and it's, like, it looks like an old TV, like, with like, the width of it or the depth of it, but kind of small. So it looks crappy. And I was like, oh, that's... I guess that was cool before.
Yeah.
You know, and then as you move on through the whole thing, you realize, like, the supercomputer that they had where all the information was there is just like an old laptop, not even a laptop, it was an old computer. The super duper disk that they had is a 3.5, you know,
3.5 by 5,
yeah,
floppy.
And then you even see it; it says like 360 megabytes.
So. Ooh. Yeah.
So 12 songs.
And throughout the whole thing, like, there's one point where Ethan Hunt is going on the internet, and he's typing up, you know, the search engine, and this search engine, it was just really simple. It was like job, and then it would nothing matched, you know, job 13. Like that was the only thing he does, and for some reason he's still able to find like the mail, you know, the email of the person, and the person's email is, you know, job@job315. It's like, this used to be so cool to me. Like every single aspect of this at one point, like the masks, when I first saw the movie, the masks were really, really cool, and now you look at it going, oh, it's just plastic.
You can kind of tell. But he caught his sweat.
But like,
that's all I remember about that movie.
And then
Emilio Estevez getting shoved.
Which, by the way, why was that? Can anybody explain me why that was? Okay, maybe I can't actually like make myself like flat. Why does putting his hand to save the sweat? Why does that?
Because it's like the suspense about to get caught.
The floor was pressure sensitive.
No, but. I can catch sweat.
No, you can't.
Oh, because it was...
No, you cannot.
Because it was in slow motion. It was literally like him going, people can't see me.
Turns out
it's a pocket. Yeah, it's an audio meme.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the weird part of that is he's still playing that role.
Yes. Yeah.
He's got that Scientology magic. Like, he's still doing that stuff.
But now he's not playing...
Who we love.
Who we are totally in support of.
But he's not playing Ethan Hunt anymore, right?
Oh, he's not?
He's playing his brother Michael.
Oh, I didn't even know. Clearly, I'm very behind. Are you going to kick me out?
No, because he's just being really dumb right now.
Oh.
It's Michael Hunt.
Oh. Cool. Cool. I'm sorry, I forgot where I was for a second. I'm with you.
This is what we do.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, oh, really?
Level of discourse.
Cool.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, this one, I don't have a problem with outdated technology. Like, I'll just buy into it, you know? I don't care about that. But I was thinking how much, and I don't think this is shocking to say, but...
So that's why you're okay with Spaceballs, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't care about... Because I'm willing to realize that it wasn't made yesterday, you know? And but I just am not now into Return of the Jedi anymore. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. And I don't know if, like, I'm going to get kicked out of the dungeon.
No,
the first half hour... The first half hour, I'm okay with. I think Jabba the Hutt's so cool, and like, I don't know, like Princess Leia in that bikini, like, I just think she looks so badass. Like, I'm not into her, but I'm into her, you know? But I think the reason I can't do that movie anymore is actually Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was, I don't know, Rogue One's one of my favorite movies in the Star Wars franchise, and it's just so serious, and you see these people and this whole planet, and all these people give up everything, and they die for this, you know, the plans for this Death Star, and it's all so serious. And then there's, like, these fuzzy Care Bears, and they think that this robot is their god, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? What is this tone shift? And I just can't get behind, I watch it until Jabba's dead, and then I'm out. I can't do it. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
You're there for the Rancor fight?
Pretty much. I'm out. I just think, like, I don't know, I guess the newer movies and just a perspective on the sacrifice and what they're fighting, this rebellion, the end of it just seems like such a miss for me. And I guess that's why I'm not super great on the prequels, and I know a lot of people feel that way, so I'm not saying anything super shocking on that. But they just feel tone, like the tone is so off.
I dig that.
I like the fact you can complain back that I disrespect the change of technology, but you're comparing George Lucas to actual writers.
Yeah, but didn't George Lucas do all three of the originals?
Yes, he did.
So, like, I think, you know, the first Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, mm-hmm. I mean, we're all sitting here because we agree those are two of the best films ever.
Mm-hmm.
So what went so wrong in the third one?
Merchandising.
I guess.
Merchandising.
See? The quest for more money.
See?
That's about Spaceballs.
Yes. So, just saying, I feel like that movie's still fantastic. Okay.
Again, none of these movies, I still like Mission Impossible. I'd still watch it, but it's just laughable.
I see.
You know, it's just laughable to me right now.
Well, I find the Ewoks unwatchable, and I don't know if that's I'm a cranky old woman or what that is, but yes, But I'm not into it anymore. And, like, you have children. I'm assuming they love it.
No.
They don't love the Ewoks?
No.
They speak our language.
Do you know that, actually?
That the Ewoks speak Tagalog?
Yeah, at a certain point, while the Ewoks are talking, they actually speak Tagalog.
I will never look at you the same way. I mean, if you were just a little
also
scary,
ironic that,
short,
know,
indigenous people.
Yes.
With spears.
Yes. Oh, shoot.
That's us. But I was telling Kara today was that Return of the Jedi was actually the first Star Wars movie that I had. So for me, like I think the viewpoint of it is a little bit different because to me that was Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
Return, and to me, to this day, I know everybody says Empire is supposed to be the best one. And everything. Return of Jedi still has a big part of my heart, just kind of reserved because that was my Star Wars.
You know, it's the first Star Wars movie I watched.
Star Wars.
Spaceballs.
I feel like Spaceballs isn't funny without the Star Wars reference, but apparently I'm wrong.
No, it makes Star Wars a better movie.
Oh, okay.
Because you're like, how come they're not doing these things? I saw Spaceballs.
Where's their giant pig? Like,
exactly.
I don't get this.
Where's Luke Schwartz?
I mean, like, how come he's not getting tangled with freaking Darth Vader, you know? Oh.
This Darth helmet sucks.
He's not holding him back with a hand.
So, one more round, if everybody has at least one more example.
Okay, I guess my last one, something I actually went out of my way to show my son, which I guess in retrospect is not a good idea, because it is a rated R movie, it's Blade. And I hyped it up to him so much, saying that, I know, bad idea, he's 10.
You don't like Blade anymore?
No, here's what kills me.
Is it not translatable?
In my head, I was thinking, like, dude, Noah, you're going to love this. It's nonstop action. There's sword fights. There's blood. There's all sorts of cool stuff. It starts off with a super dated, like, EDM, scene with Tracy Lords and that guy who ends up on The Shield, the show The Shield.
Yeah.
You know,
there's blood, like...
Yeah, but...
Vampire!
And it feels so dragged. Like, I don't know if it was just from my perspective, but, like, I think... The current MCU movies have kind of spoiled this next generation of as soon as there's action or there's some kind of thing and then exposition and then that. Not the traditional exposition and then action and then, you know, mounting action, all that stuff. But this one is like, it kind of dragged that part. It's like, ooh. And then not to mention, Stephen Dorff, obviously, I think even at the time was never really like the best choice in bad guys.
Oh, but he was so handsome. As a female,
that is not the argument.
Okay, I know. I just want to give you the sure?
I am not arguing that.
I know. I just want to know why.
That is
he
a fine
would
point.
Okay. He's not arguing. He agrees.
Oh, okay. I'm cool. I'm on board with that one.
Okay, good.
But I think it's just like I was looking at it maybe from like rosy perspective that, you know, it's all nonstop action and nothing against Wesley Snipes, because again, I think it kind of goes back to my Super Mario Brothers argument. Like, if it wasn't for Blade, there would be no X-Men, there would be no Spider-Man, there would be no MCU, you know, 20, 30 years later. But it doesn't hold up because the whole blood god climactic fight at the end.
Dude, the blob was amazing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was getting, you know, taken in half, and then that jello in the middle that brought him back together. He's like coagulated him back into thing.
that Gumby, that red Gumby board. Yeah, dude. Maybe it doesn't hold up, or maybe I should have probably gotten a better format because I played my literal old DVD on a Blu-ray player. And my TV's not as big as Dennis's, but you can still see, like, it's like, seems super pixelated. So maybe that's on me. I should have probably gotten a higher depth.
Did your son like it? Like, I'm curious to see if he enjoyed it.
He was okay with it.
Okay.
Like, he wasn't, like, what killed me was I was ready to pop in Blade 2, which I thought I was getting ready for, or he was ready for. He's like, I'm good.
Oh,
I'm gonna go play Fortnite. I'm gonna go play Fortnite, Dad. Thanks. Thank you, Father, for this walk down memory aisle. I have your insure, old man. So unfortunately it didn't fly, so maybe it's still I'm gonna hold on to my memories of watching it at the AMC in Burbank when I was 17 or 16, loving it, not as a 30 something year old father whose kids did not care for it at all.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. So I'm not gonna show them X-Men. Forget that.
But show him X2.
I showed him. You know, I showed him Logan, which scarred him. So there.
Okay.
So he died. I actually did a back to back of Terminator 2 and Logan, which again, showing rated R movies to 10-year-olds. It's like, whatever.
He died. I was watching those when
died.
I was.
He died. He dies again? Why are you making me watch these shows? But you know, but I mean, we saw RoboCop and Predator when we were like eight, nine. So, you know, whatever. My dad, our dads let us do it. So,
I was watching
know.
Commando at five, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you were watching worse. For Kelly LeBrock. You were watching Kelly LeBrock
getting his arms cut off. And Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano. Oh. She holds up. She does. Holds up. She does. Yeah.
I'll hold her. I can't say that.
You can.
No, because she's the leader. The leader of that Me Too movement. So,
yeah. Oh well.
You can't say anything negative about her. Sorry, if you're listening.
Go
down. Love your movies,
especially Embrace of the Vampire and Poison Ivy.
Great movies.
No, Poison Ivy 1 was Drew Barrymore.
Have you ever watched?
No, this is obviously not for my... Nope. Okay. I'm not the target audience of
this film. Yes, of course.
Yeah, neither are we.
No, we were.
Yeah,
we
totally were.
For very specific reasons. Well, I'll tell you what those movies are about.
I kind of know what they're about. Okay, just from hearing you guys giggle. I feel like I'm right on board.
You go.
Yeah.
It's exactly what those were.
Yeah. It was in between her career.
Yeah, no, it was a lot.
Before her renaissance.
Yeah.
For me, the last one I'm going to be doing is... I'm trying, like, my daughter is into, like, watching... like movie TV shows and everything, but there's some movies that I classic movies that I really want her to watch.
Yeah.
And so we made her watch Sound of Music.
Okay. You know,
which she loved and everything. And so I was trying to figure out what are some other movies in that kind of genre, like in that time where everybody thinks is a great movie, especially like the musical kind.
Okay.
So I was thinking to myself, I'm gonna go watch Grease.
Oh.
And I remember Grease. I love Grease. And
but do you remember Grease?
That's the problem.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't.
You don't. You know? Rewatch it as an adult.
And I rewatch it like, oh my God.
Rizzo was pregnant? Like, I know.
And she got an abortion?
Yeah, Grease or something.
And the that one song.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And even that song where everybody sings during karaoke, you know.
Grease Lightning?
No, Tell Me More.
Tell Me More.
Summer Nights. Summer Nights.
It's basically like there's that part where they talk about you know, just again kind of
no
say
my
it like
my favorite
it.
Lines from that is Tucker bowling in the arcade and he shows three fingers and it's like,
oh yeah,
that's not bowling in the arcade.
No. And Grease Lightning is even dirtier. There are some lyrics of Grease Lightning that are
so I never realized it.
Yeah.
In my head, it's. I mean, I knew there was the whole idea of, oh, you know, why does she have to change herself for the guy?
That and
was,
vice versa.
You know, that was the one thing that I thought at the back of my mind that I know the problem with this. I just didn't realize just how much more that movie had that I didn't know about. It's amazing.
You know why she had changed everything about herself though, right there. Because she was hopelessly devoted to him.
Oh, I walked right into that.
Hopelessly devoted.
We got stranded at the drive-in.
Yeah, we still sing about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of... the other one that makes me laugh is the... He swam by me, got me so damp.
You guys.
Oh, my God.
The line in Grease Lightning is, all the chicks will cream.
Yeah.
Like that.
Cream.
I don't know if you're going to edit that, but that is a lyric from a song.
It's a lyric from a song. It's I don't think you can edit that.
Especially the one so beloved.
But when you're like nine and singing along, where was my mom? Where was my dad?
No, even
saying like, Kara, like, I remember them being so mad that I listened to Alanis Morissette in high school. Where were you when I was singing Grease when I was seven?
Even now.
Sing something wholesome.
No, yeah. Like Dennis said, like, if you go to any place and you play Summer Nights, people will like completely ignore what the lyrics are. But I'm always like, yeah, take a bow.
These are tough. These are tough.
Harold's looking at the crowd. She's down. Take you to the 12-pin. I don't know.
I mean,
how many pins are there?
I don't know. Anything wrong with it. It's just, you know, the audience. We do show it to kids, and we don't really think about it. No.
We don't think about it.
No.
Every high school has a production.
So, yeah, right?
So my daughter, no.
When you,
didn't we do that?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
But the line, did they include the line, oh, so you want to hear all the horny details?
I mean, it's all.
Because that's the line right before the Summer Night starts.
I didn't even realize that.
Yes.
Okay. Great movie, though.
It is. It actually is.
Like, I'm going to listen to that soundtrack on the way.
John Travolta at his finest.
I was going to say on the way home, but that's a 30-second drive. So. In here. Go green.
I really am going to have to listen to this more now. Please. I mean, you know, Alanis Morissette said I was raised on Tupac, so, you know, whatever he wants to say, he's going to say it. Whatever he wants to do to you, but apparently they were a lot more subtle back in the 50s. as long as you sing it lyrically, it's like, ooh,
yeah, exactly.
How romantic. Creaming my shorts.
She got raped.
Hey, awesome.
How sweet.
Okay.
I'm sure he meant well.
And then she dropped out of high school.
Like, oh, shit.
And then dropped out of beauty school.
Yep.
She's a beauty.
And then she's in Grease 2, which I know no one has seen Grease 2 but me. It's one of my favorite movies. It's so cheesy and bad. But she makes an appearance in Grease 2 because she dropped back into high school.
Again, we go back to, you watch Grease 2,
but not
Back to the Future 2.
Listen, let's just blame my parents. They let me sing Grease as a child.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Greater than Michael J. Fox.
Oh, I love Michael Pfeiffer.
Sorry, go ahead. One of you.
Karen, go ahead.
Okay, well, my last one, I had a backup because Friends was one of mine. So this probably won't apply to you very much, so I'll be quick, but, you know, in case any of your wives listen, maybe they will.
There's a chance Lois will know.
There's a highly
likely.
I might be the only woman in Earth that just kind of hates Sex in the City. I just have a real problem with it. I don't think it holds up. I think it's four women that are just such stereotypes, and they're just disgusting white privilege, bumping into each other in New York City, falling down in Dior. Bitch, I don't care that you tripped in Dior. The fact that you had the courage to walk into a Dior, you're getting no empathy from me. And Carrie, I'm sorry, the whole season, now when I look back at it, and I liked it when I was young, but it just, she seems so selfish, and it's all about, like the sex she's getting, and I'm like, do you want to like care at all about anyone else while you're living in Manhattan? No? Okay, cool. So I just have a really hard time with Sex in the City in retrospect. I don't know, Lewis.
So it sounds like Entourage for girls.
Yeah, it's
basically, Entourage
was supposed to be the Sex in the City for dudes. They saw the success that Sex in the City had. So they're like, oh, let's take four main characters, all of the same gender. I was going to say genre and gender, so genre.
Well, and they give them such French clear words. Stereotypes, you know, and one of the girls is very clearly a member of the sorority I was in, and they really play on all the stereotypes of that, which aren't necessarily inaccurate, but it just comes off as this like stinking rich show of these white women, and you know New York City is not like a utopia. I don't know. I have a hard time rewatching it. It feels insensitive, and it just feels so selfish. I'm not into it.
Gotcha.
Thoughts on the movies?
I didn't see them.
Okay, you were jaded from them.
Generally, and I don't know if this is unfair to say, generally a TV show to a movie doesn't make that jump super well.
Yeah, like Entourage.
Occasionally, I'm sure it does, but I can't think of an example. Simpsons was great, but it's hard to make that jump, I think.
Gotcha, yeah.
Don't you think?
I'm trying to think of
other TV shows that turn into Jetsons.
Okay, maybe only animated movies are good, because Jetsons movie is pretty good.
Yeah, maybe it's easier for animated.
Flintstones, Viva La Rock Vegas. my last one I'm going to have to go with, it's sad that I have to use this only because it is that whole outdated technology. Like, the movie it can be made today, but it has to be completely different. And it's a movie that we talked about kind of last week with our romantic comedies. And
Spaceballs.
You Got Mail.
I love You Got Mail. I hate to be that girl. I love it.
I love You Got Mail.
I love the movie too. When's the last time you heard the words You Got Mail?
Well, I still get mail,
20 years
though.
Ago.
No. Recently?
When? When so you watched You Got Mail?
Yes. I watched it 3 days ago.
Yes. I know. It's playing last week.
People still get catfished, which is kind of what that whole show is about, or that movie's about.
So this is the thing. There's two stories about You Got Mail that both won't fly. First of all, AOL.
Yeah.
Existent, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, lots of different dating apps. That's a story you can go through. Secondly, the reason that Joe Fox is rich is because
bookstores.
His dad owns a bookstore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
Aww.
Well, still
the only people making money is Barnes and his friend E. Noble.
Right, but they are putting little bookstores out of business.
Yeah,
as are Amazon. Like, yeah. Amazon's putting. What if he worked for Jeff Bezos?
I see.
He doesn't. Okay, but if you were updating.
He works for Fox Books.
Okay, but if you were updating.
Yeah, that's even if we're updating, but like
they're
now.
They're still putting little bookstores out of business.
There's no little bookstores anymore.
Oh, well.
That's the sad. Well, there's...
Maybe she works for Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
And he works for Amazon.
Maybe she just works, like, as a barista somewhere. I mean, you can, you know, rewrite the movie in a completely different way. But there's that whole, like, their meet cute of, like... You can still do chat rooms, I guess. But nowadays, it's... Like, I know it sounds sad because it's not really sad, but it's like more instant gratification in terms of, like, you know, pictures are really readily available. Chats can happen anytime, and you see real time face and real time names and everything. So you're not guessing, like, who NY152 is when Shopgirl is like, right? I mean, why do I know these things?
Because you know,
because we all love You Got Mail. But yeah, watching it, like, every time I watch it, first of all, Dave Chappelle in that smallest supporting character role besides A Star Is Born, but you know
he was there.
I didn't, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's in A Star. He was in.
He was the guy who married him.
Oh, no, A Star Is Born.
Yeah, he was the black guy.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Because you know,
is that accurate?
Wasn't John Legend, but is it John Legend? Yeah, but that whole just them meeting and everything. It's, I mean, it's obviously an awesome movie, but it's. If it was made nowadays, it just seems super dated when you watch. Like, we can talk about, like, dated technology and everything, but, like, the whole just premise of it nowadays, if you took a person who was born after 1998, they would have no idea what anything about that movie is.
But it's still charming as hell.
It's charming. Oh, yeah. Especially Meg Ryan.
Yes. Four words. Shut the
up. Oh. I was going to say, you got mail. No. That's just three.
You have got mail.
You've apostrophe.
When the two of you flared, your faces flared when I said that Spaceballs.
Oh, I still want to hear that argument later.
And like, Dennis is like, flames. I see him, flames.
Oh my gosh, Clue holds up, by the way.
Yeah, Clue is, that's because it's timeless.
Yeah, it's also timeless. And I didn't know Mr. Green was gay until I watched that as an adult. And I was like, what? But it's still a classic. It's like my favorite movie, too.
That's my Back to the Future, too. I've never seen Clue, the movie.
Oh, dude, hold on. Okay. We could talk about this.
I have it. I bought it.
It's on streaming.
Like, oh, okay.
It's on one of the free streaming things. I just saw it this morning.
I bought it on iTunes, so it's always with me. Like, I love that film.
That'll be another topic, by the way.
Ooh, that's
movies
a good
that
one.
Are always with us.
No.
Princess Bride's on my phone right now.
Oh, that's a great one.
We should do another... We have to do another episode of... And then we can have Kara come because she hasn't seen, obviously, the Back to the Future movies. It's the comeback and review, or let's hear your version of it. So we'll make Lewis watch Clue.
I'll watch you can watch Back to the Future 2 and 3.
You watch Sex and the City.
No, we wouldn't do that to you. We'll find something for you.
He's seen everything.
I got in shock.
Sex and the City, man.
Do you have a job? No?
No.
Like, I'm just wondering how you watch all these things today.
Sort of.
Okay. No, I'm not joking.
I came in to work really late.
Okay.
And he's doing like 40 hours.
I'm sorry.
I felt that.
Okay, don't ask. Okay.
I mean, I watch movies at work.
Oh, cool.
Okay, well, let's try to save Harold's pride right now.
Okay.
And say, I got nothing. Kara, thank you very much for being part of our podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I told the guys that, you know, that thought popped in my head, I was like, I think you're going to be perfect fit for our podcast. And I think you're right. Or I was right one of the few times there. I can pat myself on the back, you know. Thank you. You know, I'm hoping that you liked the experience enough that, you know, we'd love for you. Well, actually, we'll talk first.
That's fair. You'll review me.
We'll talk.
I'm glad you didn't go, like, we're going to talk first.
To see if you're replacing Lewis or not next week. That's fair.
But at least...
Worst kept secret.
At least on my part, I thought this was great. So I would love for you to be back just because you're my friend, you know.
Yeah, do you have, like, a SoundCloud to plug or do you have any albums dropping?
No. No, I got nothing. But thanks for having me.
SoundCloud rapper. See, copyrighting. Just making them.
Wow.
No, it's awkward when you have three people doing awkward silence, but four? That's a new one.
That's talent. Okay, so as usual, this is a time where we kind of plug in our social media stuff. So as usual, I talk about our website, 2fanboys1casual.com, where we have all our old episodes. Of course, every so often, a splattering of content.
A creaming of
a creaming shit.
Cream. Papa. On Facebook, it's Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any fun news, news articles, any memes that we find worthy of sharing, you'll find us there too.
What happened?
Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram, which I am checking at the moment.
Oh, okay, nice.
Because we have some new followers, so thank you, new followers. You can find us both on Instagram and Twitter at Two Fanboys, One Casual.
So hopefully this is going to be one of those episodes where Kara actually listens into.
When do you sing the song? Podcast, podcast, podcast. When do we do that? Through the magic of editing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we're just going to use that.
Yeah, that's it. That's a new one.
Just kidding.
I was just about to ask Carol. If we
you can make the new EDM version. We'll just overlay the beginning song from Blade.
And then just her going, podcast. A little racist.
So, sorry. It won't hold up. I'm so sorry.
Well, that is it for us today. Thank you once again, Kara, for being part of our podcast. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
Harold.
Kara.
See you later.
So, really quickly, I know this is the, you know, the going out thing, but the thing, the most racist thing to me was in Revenge of the Nerds when, like, when they're playing, you know, at the concert and everything, and the guy that has to play the gun stage.
But he was
dressed as a Native American.